"Why, that's true, sir," he said. "Well, how you come to know it, heaven only knows. You see, when I got up to the door, it was so still and lonesome that I thought I'd be none the worse for someone with me. I ain't afeard of anything on this side of the grave, but I thought that maybe it was him that died of the typhoid inspecting the drains what killed him. The thought gave me a kind of turn, and I walked back to the gate to see if I could see Murch's lantern, but there wasn't no sign of him, nor of anyone else. There was no one in the street. Not a living soul, sir, nor as much as a dog. Then I pulled myself together and went back and pushed the door open. All was quiet inside, so I went into the room where the light was a-burning. There was a candle flickering on the mantelpiece, a red wax one, and by its light I saw... Yes, I know all that you saw. You walked round the room several times, and you knelt down by the body, and then you walked through and tried the kitchen door, and then..." John Rance sprang to his feet with a frightened face and suspicion in his eyes. "Where was you hid to see all that?" he cried. "It seems to me that you knows a deal more than you should." Holmes laughed and threw his card across the table to the constable. "Don't go arresting me for the murder," he said. "I am one of the hounds, and not the wolf. Mr. Gregson or Mr. Lestrade will answer for that. Go on, though. What did you do next?"
Rance resumed his seat, without, however, losing his mystified expression.
"I went back to the gate and sounded my whistle. That brought Murcher and two more to the spot."
"Was the street empty, then?"
"Well, it was as far as anybody that could be of any good goes.
What do you mean?"
The constable's features broadened into a grin.
"I've seen many a drunk chap in my time," he said. "But never anyone so crying drunk as that cove. He was at the gate when I came out, a-leaning up agin the railings, and a-singing at the pitch of his lungs about Columbine's new-fangled banner or some such stuff. He couldn't stand, far less help."
"What sort of a man was he?"
asked Sherlock Holmes. John Rance appeared to be somewhat irritated at this digression.
"He was an uncommon drunk sort of man," he said. "He'd have found himself in the station if we hadn't been so took up."
"His face, his dress, didn't you notice them?"
Holmes broke in impatiently.
"Oh, I should think I did notice them, seeing that I had to prop him up, me and Murcher between us. He was a long chap with a red face, the lower part muffled round."
"That will do,"
cried Holmes.
"What became of him?"
"We'd enough to do without looking after him,"
the policeman said in an aggrieved voice.
"I'll wager he found his way home all right."
"How was he dressed?"
"A brown overcoat."
"Had he a whip in his hand?"
"A whip? No."
"He must have left it behind,"
muttered my companion.
"You didn't happen to see or hear a cab after that?"